Well, let's welcome this guy back to the show. He is an Emmy-winning writer, producer for The Simpsons. So four Emmys.
Oh.
He's from Connecticut.
Nice.
Welcome back, Mike Reese.
So nice to be back, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Is it really?
Yes.
Or are you joking with us?
Therapy has made him say so.
Nobody fakes sincerity like I can.
Man, you're good. You're really good.
Well, we'll talk about The Simpsons, but I want to talk about, and we'll talk about your all your other stuff, your podcast and everything.
Thank you.
But you have a bad rep for, like, goofing on Connecticut, and it really isn't your fault, right?
Yes. You know, I wrote an article recently for, I think it was the Hartford Current. They didn't even tell me who I was writing it for.
Whoops.
But I wrote an article called Why I Love Connecticut, and it came out in the papers. They didn't change one word of it, but they changed the title to Why I Love to Make Fun of Connecticut, which is not the same thing.
However, it will get more clicks.
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Like, and that was it.
All about the clicks.
They said the young people who work at the paper thought this is a better title. And it's like, yeah, it'll get, you know, why don't we just call it Nude Pictures of Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah. That'll get more clicks.
That was next.
Yeah.
But that was
my backup title.
Oh, right. I love that. They were like, hey, you know, the truth is kind of boring.
Right.
We're going to change it up a little bit.
Right. He won't mind.
Yeah.
Don't tell him.
Yes. Don't tell him. That was the key thing.
Exactly right.
So, surprise. Anyway, but I do love Connecticut, and I do love to make fun of Connecticut, but there is a lot of jokes that can be made about Connecticut that people from Connecticut enjoy, and I made them.
Right, and I think you make good points. So you were at some party, right, and someone walks up to you and says, hey, you know, you should write a play about Connecticut.
That's correct. It was somebody at the UConn Theater Department. We were just having dinner. He goes, you should write a play about Connecticut. Nobody's done that before. And somebody elbowed him, like, you don't just ask someone to write a play. And so he changed it to, or just write any play and stick Nathan Hale in there. And so I went home, and the idea really stuck with me. You know, I've worked at The Simpsons now for 32 years, where we've done everything 10 times over. I mean, we just kill just to have a fresh idea out there, something new. So when somebody says to me, you should do this, no one's done it before, that really gets me excited. So I started writing a play about Connecticut, and it was wide open territory. Nobody has written a play about Connecticut or a movie or a song. Connecticut had no song. And that was sort of the genesis of it. I said, I wrote it about a guy like me. I grew up in Bristol, Connecticut, and I love Connecticut, although you wouldn't know it from the article.
Right.
And he was just a guy who felt he was, it was about a single guy on the dating scene who felt like his problem with dating was he was like Connecticut. Very nice, very pleasant, nothing wrong about him, but nothing that exciting about him either.
Oh, my God, that's kind of friggin' brilliant.
Kind of pricey, too.
Yeah. And so that was it. And as I dug deeper just to, you know, get Connecticut information in there, the winds up in the middle of the play, there's a long lecture of kind of funny, interesting, boring stuff about Connecticut, going right to, I remember being a kid in school in Bristol, Connecticut, and the teacher was saying, all cities have nicknames, you know, New York is the Big Apple, and New Orleans is the Big Easy, and our capital, Hartford, is the insurance capital of the world. And I'm like, oh, my God.
That's sexy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the best we could do. And Connecticut's nickname has all these boring nicknames, like the Constitution State. Okay, not bad, but it's also called the land of steady habits. And it's like,
is that good or bad?
I do wake up the same time every day.
They're good habits, you know? It could be bedwetting or something like that.
Drugs.
We do it, but we do it all the time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you nailed that. That is it. And that is a problem with any guy or this state. When you're pleasant, mm-hmm. no woman wants to say, oh, my boyfriend, He's pleasant.
Right, he's a pleasant guy.
He's got a, that's not a bragging word.
You like him, he's pleasant.
He's a guy of steady habits.
And he's in insurance.
He's very nice and
right.
pleasant.
Very nice, yes.
That doesn't sound like someone like your blind date. Like, hey, he's nice right. and he's pleasant.
Right.
I think I'll pass. Sounds boring.
Not a bad boy at all.
I don't think I've used the word pleasant to describe any man.
He wears a lot of sweaters, yeah.
That's so true about Connecticut. No one says... Guess where we're going on vacation?
Right.
Connecticut!
Woo! Yeah.
Like, what?
No, when you say...
What is there?
Guess where we're leaving?
You mean we're driving through to New York?
Right. We're going to, like, maybe stop off and have lunch, right?
Can I get a copy of the Constitution?
We'll get a pizza. We'll stop up in Mystic and keep going, right?
Mike Reese is on, writer, producer.
Glad you guys are saying it.
Like, this is awesome. I'm not getting in trouble at all.
No, we love this place, and we love that it's between two of the world's most exciting cities, right. Boston and New York.
Right.
And we get to cop that vibe anytime we want with a car ride.
Right.
But
like a course
we don't have the mess and the slime, and that there's something about New York when you just touch it. It's sticky.
Oh, there's Connecticut.
It takes a long time to wash it. So I said, you got any, like, Comet?
There we go.
I got to get New York City off my hands here.
Connecticut, the in-between state.
Yeah.
The causeway.
When I was in college, I had to introduce myself, and somebody, to brief them, I said, Connecticut, and they go, that's great. You can root for the Yankees or the Red Sox. Yeah. It's like, that's why we moved there.
Yeah. You want to live dangerously. On the cusp.
So that play that you wrote, it's called I'm Connecticut. How did it do?
That was the thing. It came out 10 years ago. And like the week before it opened, everybody got scared. They go, all you do is you're dumping on Connecticut for 2 hours and inviting all of Connecticut to see it. It was in first it was at UConn. And,
is that bad?
We all got nervous, and then people came in. Oh, my God, they loved the play. They loved it. It set box office records in UConn. It was named one of the 10 best plays of the year. It won every award you can win. In Connecticut.
Nice.
But, in Connecticut.
And then they taxed it.
In Connecticut. People loved the play, and then it moved. It was interesting. It went down south. It played in Ivoryton, and it set box office records there. And then it went to, I think, Somerville, Connecticut. It was a town I'd never heard of before, and they played it there. And there was one funny thing about Somerville, Connecticut, because the play opens with a guy speed dating with an African-American woman. And in Somerville, they go, we can't find one. We can't find an African-American woman. Can she be fat? Because we have a lot of those.
Wow.
Come on.
You really? Like, you don't have a car? You can't, like, drive out of town? Or there's no, really? Wow, that's
Wow.
That's wow, that's another problem unique to Connecticut.
That's
so weird.
Yeah,
I can't even. I want to joke on it, but I don't even want to joke on it because
My brain can't
calculate what kind of trouble I can get in for just talking about this. So, but it was something that really happened.
It was. Yeah. It is something that happened. Yeah. And so anyway, that was it. It was my first play, and it did so well. I go, well, I'm never writing another play again because I got too lucky with that one. But that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, sounds like revival time now.
Exactly, right?
I would say it's just that everyone, especially because people who go see theater are old, that I would say everyone who saw the show originally is dead.
Yeah, all right. So you have fresh audience, right?
Yeah. Mike Reese is on, writer producer for The Simpsons. Wrote a play about Connecticut called "I'm Connecticut." Nice. He's from Connecticut, and more writers for The Simpsons are from Connecticut than any other state, right?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's about 7 out of 20 writers.
Wow.
So a third of us, and you know. You can come up with a bunch of bogus theories as to why that is. I'm sure someone could write a little master's thesis that, like, you know, the state of Connecticut is like the town of Springfield. It's just kind of generic, all-American place. But I don't know why it is, but I'm very proud of it. I like that we have all these Connecticut writers. And for years, we had a writer from Hartford. And I'm from the suburbs of Hartford. And the two of us would just pitch jokes you would only get if you lived in central Connecticut. You'd be pitching jokes about Lake Compound. And why don't the Simpsons go to Bristol's Clock Museum? And
Oh, my God.
And that, there is a joke coming up in an episode in about 6 months about the Wadsworth Athenaeum. So I was really excited about that.
See, you're building up psych over here.
Yeah. How do you do that every day for so long, so many years? Like you said, you guys have covered everything multiple times. How do you keep it fresh?
We keep it fresh mostly with manpower. You know, we used to do the show with 6 writers and it was just, there was really heavy burnout. And there comes a point where you just go, I've given them everything I can give them. And that happened to me. After a while, I go, gee, everything that ever happened to me as a kid has been in the show. And so I just cut back. Everybody at The Simpsons now only works as much as they feel they can contribute. So about half the writers come in 2 days a week instead of 5 days a week. I come in 1 day a week because I need about 6 days to recharge. And people have suggested I cut down to maybe a half hour a year or something.
Was that the boss who said that?
It was Al. Yeah.
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 Who knew? I mean, this show's broken so many records, right? Yeah. Longest running. At one point, like the most watched show.
Oh, yeah. Comes up number one on a lot of top 10 lists of TV shows.
Oh, my top 10, it's usually 1, 2, or 3 of top 10 shows ever.
Exactly, right.
Ever.
And it's coming back around now in vogue because of how preposterous they had to make some of these things that are now happening in real life. So, The Simpsons predicts the future is this whole thing on the internet now.
Yeah, that's funny.
They got the word cut out for it, that's for sure.
It's huge. It's got people watching. I mean, we all think it's really dumb, I got to say, at the show. But, you know, as long as people are, you know, I know there's a whole young generation of people who watch us for our predictive power. I don't think they even know it's a comedy show. They just want to know what's next.
You're like Nostradamus to them. Exactly.
That's right.
Do you have an episode that you liked that you don't think really was, that the viewers enjoyed?
I can't think of one offhand. That's funny. No one's asked me that. I have the reverse. There's a lot of very popular episodes that I can't stand.
Oh, yeah?
All right. So the last time you were on, AJ made you feel better about one of your episodes.
That was the episode.
Oh, which one?
That was the with Frank.
Frank Grimes?
Frank Grimes, exactly. Yes, Grimey. That was one of the best
episodes.
That
was the one that was what came to mind where I go, wow, I didn't like it when I heard the idea.
Oh, it's awesome.
And that's it. And it's definitely in people's top 10.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. The Grimey episode, because this guy basically was an orphan and had he was messed up about how he's an orphan as well. But he worked hard and he gets a job at the nuclear plant. And then there's freaking Homer, who is this complete F-up who just keeps screwing everything up. And he has a great job. Frank Grimes goes to his house to having lobster that day. He's got pictures of him with the president and the space shuttle.
Oh, that was my favorite. When he said he was an astronaut. He's like, you've been to space. He's like yeah.
You've never been? Yeah, exactly. And just every single thing, Homer almost drank a bunch of radioactive juice and Grimey smacked it out of his hands. It hits the wall and melted the entire wall. And Grimey gets in trouble for it.
See? And you didn't think it was great.
That was one of the best episodes ever.
It's really good. And I love the premise. Everybody forgets what sort of the emotional story is that Homer's really haunted the whole show because Frank Grimes doesn't like him. And everybody likes Homer except Frank. And he just wants the guy to like him. And that was a great – what I hate about that show is just it ends so sadly. Frank Grimes has had a horrible life.
Right.
Then dies tragically. Right. And I think Homer falls asleep at the funeral or something like that.
Mars, change the channel. Oh, homie. And that was, I saw Homer.
Everybody's
they're all laughing,
laughing
as the coffin's being lowered into the ground. That is such an awesome episode.
I got to roll. We got to have you back, Mike. We love you, man. And
yeah.
Just so proud that you're from Connecticut. I feel like if we have a statue of somebody from Connecticut,
oh, definitely.
It should be of Mike Reese.
Yes.
He has let's tear down Mark Twain and put me up.
Give it time, it will.
Maybe we can just give him a haircut and cut the mustache off.
Got a bunch of bases, no statues on it.
His podcast is What Am I Doing Here? And the next time you're on, I'd like to just talk to you about the podcast.
Yes, okay. Well, have me back.
All right, we will. Ashley will reach out. Thank
pleasure,
you, Mike.
Guys.
All right.
But let's not talk about the Frank Grimes.